I had a good time with my grandchildren, and it's just it's good to be back, though. And so this morning, I told my grandkids lots of stories. I always love grandpa's stories, right? So I'd like to share a story this morning, some of which actually happened, and some of which did not. And I'm going to leave it up to the listener to try to imagine which parts of the story are which. So there was this young schoolboy who was accustomed to having his father pick him up from school every day at the end of the day and to bring him home. And since he was just a first grader and the school was located in a large metropolitan area, there was no way that his parents would allow him to walk home by himself. And because his home was not within the correct school zone, of course, there was no school bus that ran for him either. And so he understood that at the end of the day, he should wait for his father to come. And so he did, faithfully, day after day. But on this one occasion, because his father had been busy running errands connected with his profession, he simply forgot the time. And he didn't come to pick up the youngster. And so the boy sat down on the front steps of the school building and he waited. 3 o'clock gave way to 3:30, gave way to 4. Then at 4:30, the last staff member in the school was leaving the school building and she came out the front steps where she encounters the little boy sitting there. And so she sits down next to him and she just says, "Well, do you go to school here?" And with a very transparent answer, "Well, yes, I go to school here every day." Well, the school employee said, "Well, whose little boy are you? Who do you belong to? Why are you sitting here all alone?" Well, the child cheerfully responded, "Well, my daddy is going to come and pick me up." "Is he late?" came the next reply. "Well, I don't know," the youngster replied. I don't know what time it is." Just then this car comes rushing up to the curb and the child's father leaps from the driver's seat and runs up to the front steps of the school. He says, "Oh, I'm so sorry," he exclaimed, and he scoops up his young son in his arms and he says, "I completely forgot to come to get you today." Well, the staff person looked sort of uncertainly at the boy, but figured from the expression on his face that this was indeed the child's father. And then she looked at the father and gave him one of those wonderful disapproving grins, and then she just quickly took her leave. The boy's father said, "Oh, didn't you worry when I didn't come right away?" Oh no," said the youngster. "You said you would come. I knew you would, and now here you are." So his father, he sort of felt a lump in his throat and tears welling up in his eyes, and he carried his son to the car. And of course, this happened before you'll know the story happened before car seats. And he deposited him safely in the passenger seat, and they took off for home. And as they rode along, the child turned to his father and said, "You know, that nice lady asked me, 'Who do I belong to?' Didn't she know I belong to you?" Now, as I suggested, some of the story is true. It's a cautionary tale, and in some ways it is even a scary one. But it clearly illustrates one truth, and that is that when we know to whom we belong, we trust implicitly that it is indeed true, and that it makes all the difference in the world. You see, the story of Jesus' baptism is about several things. Underlying the story, that, as told by Mark, is this theme of belonging. At the outset of his ministry, Jesus needed to know what we need to know. To whom do we belong? Now, you might ask, well, why does that matter? Well, you see, when we know whose we are, then we're able to discern who we are. That's the meaning of our Christian baptism. This practice that we know is at least as old as John's Jordan River ministry, over the centuries, has had a torrid history, interestingly enough. Christians have fought over the method of how to administer baptism and whether or not it should be considered a sacrament. And some believers have even found ways to celebrate baptism without using water. But one thing, however, is constant. To be baptized into the Christian community means to open oneself to the claim and the promise of a glorious God. It is to say, I know to whom I belong, and I want that claim to shape me, to shape who I am and who I become. And so if and when we baptize an infant, we are saying the same thing. We're saying it on behalf of the small child. We're saying, I or we want for this child the benefits of the promises that God has already made for him or her. And so we pour on the water, or we immerse the child, or we sprinkle, or we do and apply the water, however. And in this sacred rite of baptism, the child becomes God's. Now, anyone who reads or hears the story of Jesus' baptism cannot help but ask the question about why he submitted to this practice. You know, by the end of the first century, it was well established with the Gospel of John that the believers believed outright that Jesus was, in fact, the divine Son of God in divine and human form. And if that were the case, then, why did baptism make sense in his case? Well, Mark declares that Jesus was declared to be God's special person at the moment of his baptism. It's Mark's way of telling his readers and hearers, now you know who Jesus is and whose he is. It's the same way for us. When we were baptized, or when we will be baptized, if that's a coming event for any of us, we are declaring and having declared for us, now we know for certain, for all time, who we are and whose we are. And once we are assured of that, then we can live and love and serve and celebrate and die safely in the arms of a loving and gracious God. You know, I sometimes have to smile when I'm asked, as I often am, whether baptism shouldn't wait until the age of understanding, when a child is 10 or 12 years old and can make his or her own confession of faith. And while I appreciate the hope that a confession of faith will someday be made by all the children of the church, I smile at this thought of some kind of coming age of understanding, a kind of chronological threshold by which time we will somehow then comprehend what God is up to in this whole thing of baptism. You know, even after years of considering what we are doing in the sacrament of baptism, I don't pretend to understand its mystery fully, any more than I claim to understand and to know and figure out the mind of God. So why does baptism matter? What are the voices speaking at baptism trying to say? I mean, after all, it's just a little drop of water and a few mumbled words. But you see, baptism matters because it is a reminder that we are who God says we are. Regardless of what anyone else may say about us. And baptismal voices remind us that our true identity is not what we may choose for ourselves or even, even what others may ascribe to us, but it's what God has chosen about us. It's His word about us that always says, you are a child of covenant. You are a child who belongs. It's one of the reasons that baptism matters. How many of you recall the film a few years ago titled, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? I love that film. But watching that film for the first time was the first time I ever heard the song, Down to the River to Pray, which has since been arranged. There's a choral arrangement, an anthem about it. But seeing the river baptism scene in the movie or any baptism on any given Sunday, we might be given to wonder, what does baptism matter? Well, in Flannery O'Connor's short story, The River, there's a woman named Mrs. Conan who's employed to care for the son of some wealthy parents who are very uncaring and could care less about their sons growing up. And so the boy's mother one day is sick. And so Mrs. Conan takes the boy off to a riverside baptismal service for her church. And she's standing on the riverbank, and they hear the preacher warning the crowd that if they've come for any kind of miracle or if they've come to leave their pain in the river, they've come for the wrong reasons. You can almost hear the preacher railing away. There ain't but one river, he says, and that's the river of life made out of the blood of Jesus. It's a river of pain itself to be washed away slow. And then suddenly Mrs. Conan lifts the boy up into the air and asks the preacher to pray for the boy's mother. But she's embarrassed a little bit, and so she whispers to the preacher that she suspects that the boy has never been baptized. And so the preacher commands her to hand the boy to him. And, do you want to be baptized? He asked him. And the little boy says, yes. And the preacher responds, you won't be the same again. You'll count. See, why is baptism important? It's that visible and verbal sign that we count. That we count to the people who stood with us, who stand behind us, for whom we stand, to all the people who name the name by which our name matters, and most important of all, that we count to the one who one day was baptized by John in order to assume his ministry of taking away our sins and saving us all. You see, that riverside preacher was right. When we fully and finally know what Jesus has done for us, we are never the same again. We count. That little first grader sitting on the front steps of the school building waited without doubt or fear for the arrival of the one who cared for him, who would not abandon him. He was able to do that because he knew who he was. And he knew that because he knew with utter certainty whose he was. Jesus was baptized one bright day, and I can hardly think that he ever walked by the banks of the Jordan River or any river without having to thinking about that day when the skies opened and he heard the voice of God declaring his love and confidence. And so today, as you leave the sanctuary and as you go past the baptismal fount, think of its waters and remember that Jesus was chosen by God and baptized, and so are you. That God has chosen you, and that's his very word to you, a word that was once spoken over you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And you will never be the same again. You see, you count. And as believers loved and embraced by a gracious God, we can know that too. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you sent your Son for us and that he walked into the waters of baptism to remind us of who we are and whose we are. We give you thanks for our baptism and to ask you to continue to bless us, help us live our lives as your children, that each day as we live, we are different because we know who we are and whose we are. Go with us today and continue to shower your grace upon us. In your name we pray. Amen.